Welcome to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
I want to just share a little bit this morning. It's kind of called My Story, I suppose, and it's a little bit of about, as you can see there, a bit about sharing your testimony. And last week during our worship time, there was a moment where just the Spirit just led us in a time of praying for our friends, praying for our family members, praying for people in our community to come to know Christ. But there was also that challenge of that passage from Isaiah where God said, "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah responded and said, "Here I am, send me." And we responded with that and worshiped with that if you were here. But part of me during the week was kind of challenged by this whole idea of, you know, we say things and we sing things and we read scriptures and we go, yeah. And I sort of wonder, like, whether we really mean it, whether we're really serious about it, more than just in the moment, whether we're serious enough about it to, so I guess, continue on that thought after the moment has passed. And so I guess I want to kind of share a little bit this morning. It'll probably be familiar stuff. I don't think there's any kind of anything earth-shattering here in what the Lord's put on my heart to share this morning, but hopefully it will, I guess, encourage us, make us think. And you might be kind of sitting here this morning and thinking, another sermon on evangelism, another sermon on sharing your faith, and we've heard hundreds of them. And it's like, I can honestly say to you that I don't enjoy preaching them anymore. Because like Hayley said, whenever you get up here to share, it's something that God challenges you about all through the week, and more. And so, you know, God's really been challenging me, and this is not, certainly not an area where I'm strongly gifted. It's an area where I struggle too, and so I'm not preaching out of a sense of I've got it all together and I've got it all figured out and I'm doing it right and I'm doing it perfectly. But let's grow in this together. It's not about bringing condemnation or any kind of, you haven't been doing it good enough or anything like that, but about saying, hey, this is so important for us as a church. This is one of the commands of Jesus, and he continues to encourage us and urge us and stir us up to do this. This is something that, as the church of Jesus, we have to take this seriously, don't we? We have to. We cannot call ourselves the church of Jesus if we don't take this seriously, can we? So we've got to pay attention. We've got to be continually looking and listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying and looking for ways that we can be effective in doing this and sharing your story. Let me read firstly just a verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and then I'm going to ask you a question, and that's going to kind of lay the foundation, I guess, for the message that I want to share and the thoughts that I want to challenge us with a little bit this morning together. The verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, and it says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God." Now, in this chapter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is talking about this ministry of reconciling people back into the family of God. And he's saying that God chooses to do this work through us, that we would be an example of what God has already begun to do, and we could point to ourselves and say, hey, look what God can do with somebody when you let him. Look what God did with the mess that I made of my life. Look what God did in me and through me and is doing in and through me. And if that's something that you want to have, like, you know, you can come and be part of it too. Now, here's the question, okay? In all of this kind of stuff, as we are as Paul says, we are Christ's ambassadors. We all know what an ambassador is, right? Someone, you know, like if you're an Australian ambassador to China, we might go and live in China in the embassy, and we speak on behalf of Australia to the Chinese government or to the Chinese people, or, you know, we kind of represent Australia in that place. So as ambassadors for Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father and is kind of making that appeal that people would come back to God, as Paul says here, he's saying you are that representative for Christ, for that voice of heaven that says, hey, come back to God. You are here in Whyalla. You are Christ's ambassador to Whyalla, and you are representing Christ, and you carry his name and his authority, and you are making that appeal to people on his behalf. Well, understand that concept? All right. Doesn't have to be as scary as what it sounds. But here's the question. If you were the only ambassador, if you were the only Jesus follower or Christian that a person would ever encounter in their lifetime, what would they hear about Jesus? What would be the message that they would hear about Jesus if you were the only Christian, if you were the only ambassador that somebody ever encountered? And I want to suggest a couple of things. There are probably more things that you could add to this list. And I was standing at the back there during the worship time, and I'm adding, I can thinking of other things that I could have added to the list. And I'm going, all right, let's stick to what I prepared. But there's probably other things. But I want to suggest three potential messages that people could possibly hear from you about Jesus as you act and as an ambassador for him. All right? So here's the first one. Nothing. Sometimes this is what I'm laying out the big guns right up the front. Sometimes I think when people look at Christians, they hear lots of messages, but none of them are about Jesus. And they could know somebody for years and years and years and never even realize that they were a Christian. Or even if they realize that they're a Christian, not actually hear anything about why they're a Christian or hear anything about Jesus. Now, there's lots of reasons for this, isn't there? People can, you know, they might see you as a good person. They might even see you as a moral person, an upright person, somebody with good values, or, you know, someone who does the right thing or is honest or is kind. But people don't automatically understand the message of what Jesus, the message that we're supposed to bring about Jesus just because we're a kind person, do they? Would they ever know what motivated you to be that kind, generous, upright, moral person as opposed to what you could be? They might just think, you know, that's how you're wired. They might just think that's just generally the goodness of people. They might think, I don't know, all kinds of things. But it's often that challenge, isn't it? Because we live in a culture and in a world that wants to say to us, oh, you can have your faith, that's fine, just keep it to yourself. I've got a little cartoon here. It says, my favourite thing about your opinion is when you keep it to yourself. I'm sure that there's probably been moments for most of us when we felt like saying that to somebody. But don't we feel like this is what the world says to us about our faith? Don't we feel like, you know, people are fine with you doing your thing, mostly, at least that's what they say, as long as you don't impose it on me. Don't come and bring your religion around here, you know. And so we have that there's that pressure, there's that temptation, that tendency to just kind of want to, well, you know, if that's how they feel, then, you know, I'll just keep quiet and I won't say anything and, you know, keep it to myself and keep it private and it's just between me and Jesus. You know, but is that being what an authentic Christian? Is that being what we're supposed to do? Is that what Jesus calls us to be and to do in our community? So that's the first thing. Nothing. Here's the second. You ready? The second thing that people might hear from us sales pitch. All right, we might come across like a salesperson. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not a big fan of salespeople. Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, I know that they're just regular people and they're just doing their jobs, but it's like the ones that ring you on the telephone that I think annoy me the most, because I didn't go and ask them. If I go into a store and I'm looking to buy something, I'm quite happy for them to have salespeople there. Now I can say, can you help me with this? And, you know, tell me about why this product A is better than product B. That's fine. That's great. I've gone into there and I'm looking for something, and that's helpful. When somebody rings me up, I was at the spring fair at the Uniting Church on Saturday at lunchtime, and I had a phone call from Aussie Protect. Who's had a phone call from Aussie Protect? Nobody? Oh. You probably have, you just paid no attention to the name, all right? It's one of those ones where they say, they ring you up and they say, we want to talk to you about your, you know, health insurance. And they say, oh, but we're not trying to sell you anything. We just want to set you up so that you can talk to someone who's a comparison expert that will help make sure you're getting the best deal. Now, what really annoys me the most about these kinds of salespeople is that they pretend that they're not salespeople at all. They say, oh, no, we're not selling anything. We just want to set up an appointment so that you can talk to someone who then will sell you something. And so, like, well, you're just trying to soften me up to make sure that I'm going to listen to the next guy. But, you know, and they get pushy, don't they? They're like, oh, but you haven't heard all the details of the deal. You know, you know, if you don't want to get the best deal, then, well, you know, what's wrong with you, kind of thing. A little cartoon here is a little sale telemarketer on the phone. He says, yes, sir, there is a way to stop telemarketers from calling you during dinner. Don't eat dinner. It seems like it's about the only way, isn't it? That was my little funny. But one of the things, you know, like, I hate being pressured into making decisions. I also hate, you know, have you ever had one of those guys on the phone and they'll ask you a whole string of questions that you got to answer yes to, and then they throw in the one at the end hoping that you'll just continue in that vein? And it's almost like these manipulating kind of tactics to try to trick you into agreeing and signing up for something that you never really wanted in the first place. And you absolutely know that they don't care about you in the slightest. They don't really care about whether or not you're on the best deal or the best plan or whether you're saving money. It's all about ticking their box and getting their commission and making their sale, or, you know, and that kind of stuff that it is. And sometimes when people see or hear us talking about the gospel, and, you know, we can, and I don't know whether you've ever done this or seen other people do this or heard about these kind of tactics, but sometimes people can feel like there's this, I've just kind of got to get people to pray this prayer, and I've got to tick them off, and that will assuage my guilt and ease my conscience about sharing my faith, and I can pat myself on the back and tell myself that I've done a good job and I'm being an awesome evangelist and, you know, leading all these people to Christ. Now, I don't know, sometimes there's a guy on the radio sometimes, and he's kind of got this whole strategy, and you might have heard it, you know, and you get people to admit that they're lying and murdering and adultering, kind of, you know, and kind of stuff, and just to kind of get them to realize, you know, have you ever heard that? Sort of like, have you ever told a lie? Well, then you're a liar. Have you ever thought angry thoughts about somebody? Jesus says that makes you guilty of murder. And have you ever had a lustful thought? You know, well, that makes you an adulterer, kind of thing, and this sort of thing. And while I'm not necessarily saying that approach is bad or wrong, God may lead you to do that in certain situations, but what is our motivation? Is it just about that? I'm just trying to, you know, tick off a box. Is that person just another notch on my belt? Is that just another person that I can say, well, there I went and shared my faith so I can feel good about myself? Or do we actually care about that person? Are we actually invested in reaching that person with the gospel because we care enough about them that we don't want to see them separated from God. We don't want to see them go to hell, or, you know, that we actually want them to discover life in Jesus. Have we invested time into actually praying for that person before we get there? Or is it just a thing that we've decided to do because we are supposed to, or we ought to? So that's the second thing. Now, you know, there are a lot of things that could come across. I think one of the other ones that I thought of was that I didn't put in my notes here, but maybe that you could also, sometimes people could feel like it's a lecture. You know, it's kind of like either the lecture in terms of, you know, like the when your mum gives you a lecture when you've been naughty, or your dad gives you a lecture when you've been naughty and you're getting told off, and, you know, condemnation and all that kind of stuff. Or the other kind of lecture, I don't know about you, but when I went to uni for about a year, and that didn't last very long, I sat in a lot of lectures, and some of them were pretty dry and pretty boring, and the lecturer barely even looked up from his notes, and just kind of blah, 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 blah. And it was like, you know, all the information was there, but there was no kind of connection. I think sometimes there's a little bit of that can go on too, isn't there? We just want to blurt, here's all the information that I think you ought to know, but there's not actually any kind of connection going on between people. All right, so that's 2B or 2A or something. All right, here's the third one. People, when they see us as ambassadors for Jesus, they might see a friend. I think this is one of the things that we really ought to be aiming to be in somebody's life. People are always looking for the true friends. How many of you would say, no, I don't need any more real friends? We never knock that back. You don't need any more? No, you got enough? but a real friend doesn't take away from your life, do they? Now, you might not feel that, you know, that lack, like, oh, you know, poor me, I've got no friends. But a true friend, like, it doesn't matter whether you've got a lot of time to spend with them, they'll be your friend anyway, won't they? You know, and when you do have some time, or when you're in a crisis, or when you need them, they'll be there for you. You know, and it doesn't matter whether you've you know, haven't seen them for 3 months, or, you know, whether the last time you spoke to them you had a fight. It's like, when you know that a true friend, a real friend who actually cares about you, will be there for you when you need them. This is one of the, this little quote here that I thought was really cool. It says, one of the most beautiful qualities of true friendship is to understand and to be understood. Isn't that good? One of the things that I think we actually have something wired in us, inbuilt in us, a need to be understood by somebody. To need to know that somebody actually sees the real me and still likes me anyway. Isn't it? You know, it's liberating, it's freeing. We don't have to kind of keep up some sort of pretense or image or whatever with the real friends. Most of us, I think, would probably have somebody in our life that we can just be ourselves completely with. We don't have to pretend, we can be honest. We can say when we're absolutely miserable and the world is terrible and life sucks, we can say it and be completely open and honest with that person and know that they won't condemn us, they won't write us off, they won't give up being our friend, you know, they won't walk away from us, but they'll, you know, try to encourage us or lift us up or build us up, or, you know, just sit there in our misery for a little while with us while we, you know, deal with that kind of stuff. But people, I believe, are always looking for someone who will be a genuine friend. We don't often find it, but I think that that's something that's actually really important for us. That genuine friend who cares about us. And when we come to sharing our story and sharing our faith, do we come across like somebody who is actually sharing this out of that sense of caring? Am I inviting you into something that I've discovered which is really good, and I'm living, or is it that, I'm just trying to kind of sell you something? I don't know about you. How many of you here, when you're looking to make a purchase or something, and you're tossing up between different kind of options, like you read what the company says about their product, but and then you go and read what other people say about it. How often do we do that? We go to the reviews, don't we? And we read the reviews because we want to know. We don't necessarily trust what the company says about their own product because we know that they're biased. All right. What we actually want is we want to hear the opinion of somebody who has no ulterior motives. We want to hear the opinion of somebody who actually has some experience with what it is that we're looking for, and has, like, there's nothing for them to gain out of, us signing up for that one or buying this one or that one. And if that person kind of says, yes, this is a really great product, and they get no benefit out of whether or not we buy it, we sort of tend to trust that. And it's a little bit like that. Sometimes I think when we're talking with people, it's almost like sometimes people wonder if you've got some sort of ulterior motive or something, don't you? I don't know if you, when you talk to people who are not believers or Christians, or they kind of have this idea about churches, that churches want something out of me. Whether it's my money or, want me to, I don't know, that's usually the big one, isn't it? churches want my money. But it's sometimes your time, it's all kinds of things that people have this understanding. So what we kind of need to be that face that says there's no ulterior motives here. Kind of be that representative, that ambassador for Christ and for Christ's church that says, hey, we want to share this with you because we've discovered something great and we want you to discover that as well. A friend is someone who's prepared to walk through this journey with me. Someone who's actually prepared to to do this with me, to do this together, rather than just kind of get me to sign up or pray a prayer or come to church and then kind of walk away. And I think that if we're really honest, if we aren't prepared to do that, I was thinking about this. I was thinking, if we're sharing our story with somebody, if we're sharing our faith with somebody, if we're talking to somebody about God and we're not actually prepared to walk through this journey with them, would we be better off, or would they be better off if we said nothing at all? And that really challenged me. And I had to think about that fairly carefully because obviously we say, well, a person is not better off not knowing Jesus. Like, obviously a person is better off knowing Jesus than not knowing Jesus. Is that clear? But I have to wonder if before they even get to that point, if they see that we're not genuine, if they see that, they're just a notch on the belt, or if this is just a sales tactic and we're just, trying to get them to sign up and then, but we don't really care about them. Does that make a relationship with God attractive or unattractive? It kind of does make it a bit unattractive, doesn't it? And what we're actually doing is we're actually saying to that person, this is not something that a good person would be part of. This is not actually something that's worth having. This is just a set of rules and regulations. This is a list of do's and don'ts. This is another thing that you've got to fit into your schedule. But there's no relationship. There's no connection. There's no friends to be had on offer here. Why would somebody sign up for that? How does that make the gospel more attractive to a person? And I wonder if we're actually putting barriers between that person and actually discovering the real gospel. We're actually pushing that person further away rather than drawing them closer. So I wonder sometimes, if we aren't prepared to actually help somebody more than to get past beyond just the moment, but to actually walk through, disciple, teach and help somebody do life with them, maybe we ought to go back and actually examine our hearts, because I think something's got out of whack. First Peter 3, verse 15 says, instead you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Now this verse, when I read this verse, has anybody never read that verse before? It's a pretty familiar one, isn't it? And we kind of talk about it in church a lot. We say, hey, you know, be ready to explain your faith. This verse, when I read this verse, it prompts me to ask two questions in this context. And the first question is this: does your life actually display the hope that you have in Christ? Because that's kind of the unwritten statement. If you're kind of reading between the lines, what Paul's implying here is that as you live as a Christian, that people will see that you have hope that other people don't have. Isn't it? He's saying when people see the hope, why would somebody ask about something that they can't see in you? If they don't know is there. They're not going to ask about something unless they know it's there, are they? So if people can see that you live with a kind of hope, a kind of an expectation, a joy in difficult circumstances, a hope that things will get better when others have no hope, then they go, why does that person have this hope? And they may not necessarily ask straight away, but as people get curious, people will ask you questions. As you have relationship, as you get to know that person, as they get to know you and you allow them, and they begin to see, as they begin to hear you talking about stuff. And so here's the second, that's the first question. Does your life display the hope that you have in Christ? And number two, are you ready to explain why you have that hope? Because that's not just... it's not just the... Paul doesn't just say, when somebody asks you, explain it. He says, always be ready to explain it. In churches, we often call this kind of explanation our testimony. Now, testimony is a word that you probably don't hear much outside of church or court. sometimes people, I think, would rather be anywhere else but either of those places. But basically, it's just a word that means telling people your story of what God's done in your life. And sometimes there's actually it's important for us to actually prepare or think ahead of time what we might say. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people that aren't very good at just speaking articulately and logically and rational, planned out kind of stories on the spot. Anybody here really good at just like, you know, just, you just, if someone puts you right on the spot like that, you can just lay it all out there? Fred, was that you putting up your hand? No, it's not always easy, is it? Particularly when you're talking about in front of somebody else, things that are personal, things that are about our life, our brain freezes up. Not the kind of brain freeze that you get from frozen Coke, but the kind of, you know, my mind just went blank, you know. Anybody ever had that? You know, you're all there, you're ready, and you're like, I'm going to tell this person something about God in my life, and all of a sudden you're like, and nothing comes out. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit promises to help us in those moments and with those kind of things to have the right things, but sometimes it can actually be a really good idea to have a starting point. And, you know, of course, we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit when we're having those conversations. But sometimes it can actually be a really good place just to prepare and think about. And I don't know if you've ever done this. Maybe some of you have done this. But if I said to you this morning, what is your 30, you know, the testimony of what God's done in your life in 30 seconds or less, go, what would you say? Hang on a minute. You spend the first 20 seconds thinking about something. What was that?
Nothing.
Yeah. First point, yeah. And this is the kind of the thing that sometimes we get to. It's like we're put on the spot, our brain goes blank, and you know, it's like an hour later, when we're not talking to that person anymore, we think of all the things that we could have said in that moment. You know, and so sometimes being prepared, if you go home and think about, you know, what would I say, and just have like a basic outline. You don't have to memorize a script or something, although you could if that really helped, if you felt that was necessary. But just to have like I could talk about this point and this point and this point, you know, and just kind of have some idea in your head of what it might be. And I think that would actually be something that actually you would find helpful in those moments to go, you know what, you know, my life isn't perfect, but I know that God is with me. You know, I don't have a story of how God rescued me out of, you know, drug addiction or, you know, abuse or, you know, in that sort of thing. But I do have a story of how God gives me peace in all kinds of situations, that I know that God is good, you know, regardless of what might happen in my life. He's showed me so many things and taught me so many things. And I'm so glad that I know Jesus. You know, it might be so, so simple that you think, you know, that could possibly, never possibly, you know, get through to anybody's heart. But you just don't know what God can do with your story. And so I want to encourage you, here's your homework for this week. There's a reason why when you go to give testimony in court, they make you practice beforehand. Because they understand that people freeze up on the spot. And so here's your homework is to go home. You know, make three dot points about what would I say to somebody in 30 seconds if I had an opportunity to tell somebody why I'm a Christian. If I had an opportunity, if somebody asked why I can always be positive or why I always seem like I have joy or, you know, whatever the case might be. Why am I a Christian? Why should I believe in God? All that kind of stuff. What would I say? 3 points is about all you'll get time for in 30 seconds. But you might also prepare a longer version if you get into a more in-depth conversation. Sometimes that happens and that can be helpful too. I want to just finish this morning. I want to just keep it really brief and really practical. I want us to think about as we are obedient to Christ and as we're looking for opportunities to share the gospel, because this is what he's called us to do as his church. How do people see that? How do we come across? What kind of heart are we coming into this with? Well, I want to finish with a story. It's just one brief verse. You might remember the story. There was a demon-possessed man. He was the guy that you might remember the story. He lived in a cemetery and he was absolutely wild. Nobody could go near him. Jesus went and Jesus healed him. Jesus restored him and he was in his right mind. It's the one with the story about all the pigs that fell off the cliff. Yep. All the demonic spirits went into the pigs. It's in Luke chapter 8 if you want to go and read it. But this man came to Jesus and he was so grateful for what Jesus had done for him. You know, he would have had an incredible testimony. People knew who he was and were afraid of him, and now he's got this amazing story. And he wanted to follow Jesus, but this is what Jesus said to him. And I think this is what Jesus is also saying to us this morning. It says, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. How much has Jesus done for you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have done so much for us. Lord, you have healed us and restored us. You have forgiven all of our sins, all of our uncleanness, God. You have made us right with yourself, and you have restored us into relationship with our Father God. You have made us part of your family. You have given us an amazing inheritance in heaven, and that awesome gift of everlasting life with our King of Kings. And Lord, we are grateful. Lord, we appreciate it. Lord, we could never even begin to say or explain just how much we owe you, Father, how much gratitude we have. But Father, I pray that you would help us to be people who are unashamed, Lord, to speak of what you have done for us. Lord, that you would help us to find our story. That you would help us to discover and learn ways of sharing that with other people. Lord, people that we care for, people that we care about, people that are friends, Lord, people that are family. Lord, help us to pray for those people, to ask for your help in reaching those people. Lord, we pray that you would give us words to speak into those relationships, Lord, to speak to those people's hearts. Lord, that would draw them in to discovering the joy and the hope and the peace and the strength that relationship with you brings. Lord, that they would discover the God of the universe who is worthy of worship and worthy of devotion, who is the creator of all things. Lord, we pray that you would give us boldness to declare your goodness, to proclaim from the rooftops, Lord, as we sang this morning, that we would unashamedly speak that you are a good God. Lord, we thank you that you have empowered us, you have equipped us, we've been called and we've been chosen to be your ambassadors here in this city, to bring glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.